In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. A blessed feast of Saints Simon and Jude today. And these were brothers, disciples, apostles of our Lord, and both of them sons of Mary of Cleophas. She was the wife of Alphaeus, and he himself actually was the one on the road to Emmaus. So Mary of Cleophas was married to Alphaeus, and they had three children, Jude, Simon, both today, and then St. James the Less. So they were all brothers together in the same family. So I guess what Christ, this is a good family, so he's going to keep taking people from it. So Jude and Simon, apostles, brothers, also James the Less, and St. Simon, there's many people with the same name, right? So Jude, his name actually is Judas, but that's a name of infamy, so he's called St. Jude, also the surname Thaddeus, St. Jude Thaddeus, you'll see that. And then Simon, this is Simon the Zealot, as opposed to Simon, Simon the Cyrenian, which is not an apostle, but also Simon Peter. So a lot of different names in the Gospels, but it's good to get them straight. So, and this comes from, Mark, they're mentioned in Mark chapter 6, verse 3, and when they say of Christ, is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Judas, and Simon? And are his sisters not here with us? Right? And they took offense at Christ because they knew all of his kinsmen, and it says brother of James, and Jude, and Simon, cousins is what they're talking about. So, I mean, we're all supposed to be brothers of Christ, but here they were actually his cousins, blood cousins. So what happened to these apostles, right? After going along with our Lord's admonition to preach the gospel to all nations, Simon traveled to Egypt to preach the faith, and then later he joined his brother Jude in Syria. And so they teamed up together there in that region. And then tradition tells us they landed in a port city where the demons infesting the town made a great tumult against them. And we would think this is the demons inhabiting the persons, right? So the people of the town are very upset, very angry. But they cast the demons out of the people and therefore out of the city. And then they demanded that the people there destroy the pagan idols in the temples, in their houses, and so on. Yes. Destroy your pagan idols of your false religion, right? This is not ecumenism. This is not understanding the indigenous peoples. This is saying the gods of the heathens are demons, and these demons are destroying you, and they're destroying your families. Now that we've cast the demons out, destroy those idols. Get rid of the vestiges of that false religion, right? We don't negotiate with terrorists, right? And that Satan is the biggest terrorist. So get rid of those pagan idols. And so this being done, the pagan priests of the city were furious, and they immediately seized the two of them, and St. Simon was sawn in half, and St. Jude was beaten to death with clubs. And so you'll see St. Simon oftentimes, you'll see the apostles, right, icons or statues, and there's like one of them holding a big saw, that's St. Simeon, right, the instrument of martyrdom, and St. Jude is often holding a staff or a club. And this is not, of course, this is not going to be like the first city they went to, but this is the final city, the end of their preaching and instruction. And, you know, this is how preaching the truth, this is the result of it, right? Or we have to be prepared for this result, is that martyrdom. But how many souls did they lead, right? How many souls did they lead to the faith by their fearless preaching? And the reason, it's called fearless because how did they know that this wouldn't have happened three cities previously? Or 10 cities previously. Every single time they went preaching the truth, that could have been it. That could have been the time when they were sawn in half or beaten to death. And so that is what required by the faith is the knowledge that, yeah, at any moment we could be persecuted and we're prepared to accept that. Right? That's why we have to have that fortitude from the very beginning. Otherwise, we're not going to be very effective because we're always going to be afraid of consequences. But, everybody has that obligation, right? That's what we need to pray for, that fortitude and even that zeal. And that would be a good thing to bring up, actually, the difference between true zeal and bitter zeal, right? Zeal that is too far or too human in its motivation. I mentioned that Simon was called the Zealot, And that's an account of his belonging to that sect of the Jews which wanted to expel the Romans from Judea by military means, right? By force, by violence, by the sword. And, you know, there can be a place for that, right? As they were following the example of the Maccabees. That's the Maccabees did when a false religion came in and the Jews were forced to start sacrificing to pagan idols. The Maccabees revolted and God was with them, right? God was on their side and they drove the enemy out of Judea. Not permanently, right? Because the Romans did come in and conquered. But military response to persecution can be legitimate. This is part of the just war theory expounded by Augustine. And other examples in history would be the Vendée in France, rebelling against unjust secular government. And of course, the Cristeros, right, even here in North America, in Mexico in the 1920s. But zeal has to, the trouble with zeal is it's kind of like devotion, like this burning love, this burning desire for the truth, this burning desire to defend God and his laws and so on. But the trouble is there's two sources. The source can be God's grace, in which we do it out of love for him, and the source can be our human desire to just be correct or to defend what we think is true. And then it's not God's grace, it's human nature, right? And so what you do is you see zeal from the opponents of religion. Right? Look out there and you see zeal on the part of, I don't know, Antifa and Black Lives Matter and all these other terrorist groups. They're zealous, right? God is not with them. And you can see that because of the anger, the destruction, whatever it may be, right? That is how we know do I have bitter zeal in myself, right? Is it reasonable? Is it motivated by love? Is it motivated by God? We have to be asking ourselves that question, right? And very too often, people's zeal stems from anger at the feeling of injustice. Injustice is when that can come from pride, wounded pride. I love God, right? I identify with the Catholic religion. I identify with my church and so on. And when that church is insulted, I feel insulted, right? When God is treated unjustly, I feel treated unjustly. And that's the motivation for our zeal. It's not so much God's the injustice done to God. It's the injustice done to me. That's where bitter zeal comes from. Right. And we have to be careful about that. And the zealots, the Jewish zealots, they were originally supported by many people until it became clear there's no hope. Like, there's no hope for victory. And furthermore, there are other means available. We don't have to fight. We can take political means. We can take this or that. The bitter zeal is when they want to fight. I don't want to take other means. I don't want to use diplomacy. I want to fight. And is it reasonable? Is it the last resort? And so on, right? And too often, that's where traditional Catholics, that's their problem. They want to fight. They don't want, like, look, if you were calm, if you were more reasonable, if you invited the person over first, if you listened to them first, you know, you might convert them, right? They don't want to do that. They want to come out right away blasting with all the reasons why this is wrong, that's wrong, and the Pope is a heretic and this and that and whatever. And I don't know, these days he may be, but, you know, you don't lead off with that. You don't start out blasting people with what makes you angry, right? That is bitter zeal. It never works. So, but you do need something, right? And St. Jude actually is a good, he wrote the epistle of St. Jude. It's one chapter. It's very easy to read. He talks about the necessity for vigilance. You do have to have zeal because it says, look at the angels. The angels are created in grace and they fell, like many of them fell. He's talking to those that he converted. He says, look, you got to be careful. There are men coming among you spreading lies and deceit. You have to be vigilant. You have to be zealous for your faith, which you received, because you might lose it. God saved the Israelites. He brought all the Israelites out of Egypt. And after that, he destroyed some of them because they lost their faith, because they weren't vigilant, because they weren't zealous. So the same thing could happen to you, right? So St. Jude is telling this to his people that he converted, right, that he evangelized. And so the same is true for us. We do have to have some zeal, right? We do have to have that burning love and that willingness to fight, to take risks. But we have to temper it. Where's the motivation? Is it coming from injustice done to me, anger on my part, or is it coming of love from God? And that's always the, for every virtue, right? That's what prudence is. Prudence is the ability to determine which is which, right? What's the right course of action? So let's pray for that, right? Let us pray. Let's thank God for the example of the apostles, their zeal, their proper zeal, their love, their devotion, and ask them for their intercession, right? I mean, sometimes it may feel impossible for me to become a saint, but St. Jude, right? Patron saint of impossible cases. He can help even me to become a saint. So let us ask for their intercession. St. Jimon and Jude, pray for us. God bless you all. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.